Well, welcome back to a couple hours of open lines. Just about anything goes, but share some of your strange stories with us tonight. I'm in one of those moods to have strange stories, so let's do that. And by the way, I'm going to be heading out toward the contact in the desert very early in the morning after the program. Live events there all weekend long. Donna Walker in for Tom. Tom's been sick, by the way. He's been sick almost all week with some virus, and he cannot shake it. And Donna, thank you for coming in and spending the time with us doing what you're doing, because, wow, we'd be lost without some help here. And we're going to come back in a moment. We'll take your open line calls next. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines, and welcome back to sanity. Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up with Shirley in Carbondale, Illinois, not too far from where I am in St. Louis. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, George. I'm surprised I got in so quick.
You did. I saw Carbondale and went, hey, that's cool. That's not far from St. Louis. I'm in L.A. right now, but not too far.
I'm your next-door neighbor.
Yes, you are. How have you been?
Well, pretty good. It's raining too much, but...
Yeah, I hear you've been getting a lot of rain out there. My family keeps telling me that, Dad, it doesn't stop. It just keeps coming. And it comes in deluges, doesn't it?
Yes. And we almost there, was it in April? We had something like 30 days of...
I was there rain. For part of that. That was a lot. That was.
It just didn't quit. And I was thinking, you know, pretty soon we're going to be rain in 40 days and 40 nights.
Absolutely.
It's only got to be 30, so we're still here.
What's going on, Cheryl?
Well, I was interested in your guest tonight, and I thought it was a very interesting conversation. And I wanted to say this much about that is I think that you're very wise in having a fear of the Ouija board.
Yes, I am. It just something stupid could happen, and it's not necessarily a fear. It's just that I don't want to take a chance and have something wrong happen.
Might be wisdom.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Because some fears are justified.
Have you ever played with a Ouija board?
Once on very limited time, and I thought it was kind of flaky.
Okay, nothing bad happened, I hope.
Nothing bad happened. And I've studied a lot of metaphysics, and I've explored the unknown quite a bit. I was a psychology major. I didn't graduate, but I was very interested in parapsychology and
good for you.
The works of J.B. Ryan and some of that stuff.
He was a giant.
Yes, and it's too bad that his research stopped, but on the other hand, people have to approach these kind of things. This is the unknown, and when dealing with the unknown, it's not a game, and you've got to be on solid ground emotionally, and you have got to control your fear.
It's not a game, and you know, so many people will go on these ghost hunts, and they think it's fun. And, you know, it's interesting, and I understand the fun in quotations, but you're not supposed to go on these things for fun. This is serious work.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm not going to, you know, go through a cemetery looking for ghosts, laughing and giggling and drinking beer. It's not going to happen.
Well, you don't know what you might be letting yourself in for, because we don't understand these forces. And I see it as it's energy fields. We're surrounded by all kinds of energy fields. Some of them we understand and interact with on a normal basis. Like, you know, I'm an energy field, you're an energy field, and everything that's alive is an energy field. The universe is an energy field, and we could probably even say that the realm of death is another energy field.
You know, surely you could have gotten a Ph.D. in psychology. You've got it down to a science.
Well, you know what? There wasn't any demand for the things I was interested in. And I would say that, you know, most of the field out there is kind of useless. There's so many things that psychology could do to help people. but they're not.
No, they're just not doing it the right way. Well, thanks, Shirley. Appreciate it. And just keep plugging along. Let's go out to Josh in Charlotte, North Carolina. You've been getting a lot of rain out there too, Josh, haven't you?
Yes. Hey.
Good to have you with us. What's going on?
Thanks. I just wanted to call and say, you know, a lot of apparitions, voices.
Oh, boy.
Recorded. Yes, and even recorded on the iPhone.
You've got to send them to me by email.
I'm going to have to. I'm coming to Asheville.
Oh, you're coming to the event in August?
Yes, 25th.
Oh, great. Make sure you're part of the meet and greet after the show. Come on up. I want to meet you.
I will. Definitely. And I want to tell you about a white angel.
Okay.
Who walked right, extremely right through my body on the back porch of my mother's house. Yeah. Out on the deck, and she walked right through me. She was white.
Winged? Do they have wings?
I couldn't tell. She was just clothed, heavenly clothed. Couldn't tell. There was a black angel upstairs where my recording studio is. That black angel was completely different from the white one, and it had a pretty big top hat, and it was about 7 feet tall.
Like a shadow person?
Yes, exact.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so weird.
And with
never
the with
talked
the
about it really before with anyone.
And Josh, with the white angel, did you feel enlightened and safe?
Yes, yes.
But with the shadow person, it was probably the opposite, wasn't it?
I didn't have any feeling.
None.
With the shadow person, it was just no feeling at all. It was like scared of me.
Oh, that's good.
But the white angel was very encompassing and very, like, liking to me. It was, I don't know, it felt really good.
Might it have been somebody feeling that you knew when they were alive?
I don't know. But I grew up in that house since 1969. Well, 1971.
I'm hearing a little British accent from you.
Just, you know, I don't know.
Are you British?
No, I'm just over here. But, somewhat.
You've got a little British accent, not much.
A little bit, yeah. Yes. Yes. But, you know, it's just amazing because the spirit was in me and it was alive.
How long did it stay in you?
Since 2010.
You mean it just never left?
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
It left when I left. When I left the house.
When you would leave the house, it would leave you?
Yep.
And when you came back, it would enter you again?
Well, I never came back.
Oh, you never came back. Once you left, that was it. And so it's gone now?
Sold the house. It's gone.
Interesting tech. I wonder where it went. Josh, thanks. I look forward to seeing you in a couple months. We'll be in Asheville August 25th, and, of course, every night I'll be talking about how you can get your tickets as we get to it. They tell me Vegas is almost sold out. That's coming up this coming weekend, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's contact in the desert, but this coming weekend. You know, I told Tom, I said, Tom, we got to slow down just a little bit. And he went, no. People want to meet you, and they want to see you, and we're going to keep doing this. And you know what? Somebody once told me, an old football player once told me, when the crowd stops cheering, that's it. So as long as you keep cheering, come on. And don't forget, when I sing my songs, you have the right to applaud right in the middle of the song. Do that. That's kind of cool. And Danny, what are we doing for my birthday Monday? Anything special?
We'll see.
All right. I guess you guys have a little surprise for me. You always do. Yep, birthday coming up on Monday. I'll be celebrating it with you. My family's in St. Louis. So I don't have a chance to see them. But I normally don't celebrate birthdays. I've gotten to that point now where the years just click by. I don't celebrate them at all. I don't know. Maybe you do, too. Back to the phones we go. Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Hello, Wayno. Welcome.
Good evening, Sir George.
This is the guy with the greatest voice I've ever heard, by the way.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
If we ever make an announcer change, I may bring
in. We have five family birthdays this month, and my mother's 100th is going to be next month.
Really? 100 years is good for her. Mine just turned 89, and she acts like she's 30. And
yes, I heard her on the radio the other night with you. I thought that was fantastic.
Wasn't that cool? We're definitely getting her back for the 90th. That's for sure.
Amen.
But that's great
George,
for your mother.
I wanted to cover the five cities in America that have mandatory gun laws and its effect on safety and lawbreakers.
Okay, and when you say mandatory gun laws, what do you mean by that?
That means it's mandated that the citizens of the towns carry guns.
They force them to carry guns.
Well, they're not forced to, but most of the people in these towns already own guns, and they've passed laws that they can open carry guns in these
okay,
towns.
But you won't be arrested if you don't carry a gun.
No.
Okay,
no,
all right.
Not at all.
But I bet crime has plummeted in those cities. Just my guess.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
And it's Kenosha, Georgia, Nelson, Georgia, Nucla, Colorado, you're going to love the name of this one, Gun Barrel City, Texas.
And I bet prior to the enactment of this law, or even the ability to carry, crime was probably pretty rampant and high.
Well, I would imagine so.
And I know we've had John Lott on before. I'm a Second Amendment proponent. I'm a concealed weapons permit carrier. And I think people need to be responsible with weapons. I don't think
Absolutely.
Kids should be able to go buy them, for example, and things like that. I think
yes.
It's abominable when we hear these stories where the kid got the gun, took it from his father. Keep these things locked up with a safe, and nobody has the combination but you, you know?
Right.
That kind of thing.
That's right, George.
You got to do it.
I'm with you.
You know, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Amen. Good talking to you again, George.
Okay, Wayne, you too. Let's take a few more calls before the break, and we'll come back. We've got open lines all night long. We go to Jane in Biloxi, Mississippi now. Welcome to the program, Jane.
Hi, George.
Hello there.
My happy birthday to you coming Monday.
Thank you.
Think that's an important celebration always, George, because it celebrates you or each of us, you know? So don't forget about that.
Where did the time go, Jane?
I know. I can't believe it. I turned 51, and I thought, no, this can't be.
When I was 15, I thought 20 was getting up there in age. And then when I was 20, I thought about 30. When I was 30, yeah. I talked about 40. And then, I mean, where did they go?
I don't know. I wonder that all the time. I'm just baffled. I keep on waiting to grow up, you know, to get this wisdom that other people have when they're older.
And you know what? We're all in this together. It had this age thing clicks by mm-hmm. for all of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we may have some 20-year-olds listening to the program right now. Guys and gals, I guarantee you the clock will tick so quickly. Mm-hmm. When you're 50 years old, you're going to say,
yeah.
Gotta remember that George guy. He told me it would go by fast, and it did.
No. Yeah, I know. I talk about things 20. Oh, that was 30 years ago. Stuff, you know, things like that. I'm with you, George. But we're a little bit wiser, so we can, you know, count that as a plus.
Yeah, you know what? We all make mistakes. Just learn from them. Try not to repeat the same mistake.
Right.
I'll make new mistakes, but I hope to learn from them so I don't repeat them again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm with you. And that's wisdom there, you know. So, and I had kind of a silly story, and I didn't know if this would be something that, you know, that it would be interesting to others.
Nothing is silly on this show. You know that. Nothing is silly.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, and, you know, I would like somebody to help me answer it at some point, what exactly happened. Okay, so I've always, you know, gone to new and interesting little places and, you know, parks and exhibits. I always took my kids just all kinds of different places, you know, exploring and learning new things. And so my last daughter was still at home, and there was a school of metaphysics, Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. We lived there a long, long time. Now we're in Biloxi, so I like that better. Anyway, so we go there, and I talk to the guy, and I say, oh, this is really kind of an interesting, you know, same concept, and he's like, well, you know, next week we're going to have a party and a get-together and everything. So there was probably about 50 people there, I guess. When I go in, and they have kind of little games, like, you know, find the penny under the sand. So for some reason, I'm, like, doing, and, you know, a lot of things, I'm able to find the penny under the sand, and it's several other games. And I've always considered myself empathetic and maybe a little, well, eccentric and maybe a little psychic, you know, who knows.
All of that mixed in, right?
That is true. I keep on waiting for the one to pop out and go, okay, this, you know, this is exactly what you are. But so anyway, there's a drawing. So you buy little tickets and everything. So I'm sitting there, and they're starting to announce the winners of just like, it was only like 10, about 10-ish presents. And I'm a new one. My daughter and I are sitting there, and it looks like most people there are kind of regulars. Well, so I start winning. I win the first prize, and I'm like, oh gosh, that's so great, you know? So then the second prize comes up, and we win that. And
whoa.
Then people are starting to look at me.
Like the fix is in, right?
I know. This, you know, and I realize that these people have, you know, different characteristics, empathetic, psychic, you know, I know that. I can feel it. But so anyway, basically, we just kept on winning. And we won like 7 prizes out of the 10 prizes, George.
That doesn't have, that defies odds, logic, everything.
I couldn't believe it.
Who was in the inside? There was an insider who was helping you.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe it was God.
I tell you, but basically these people were staring me down like, you know, your metaphysical ability selfishly, you know, could you just start giving these prizes? Well, basically my daughter and I just kind of, you know, at the end of the party kind of gathered up all our prizes.
And out the door you go.
Kind of hung my head, went out the door, wondered if I was being metaphysically selfish.
That is unusual. You know, you win one, that's pretty darn good. You win two, that's amazing. Anything more than that, there's something very weird going on. But you won that many? That's something. Hey, we're going to come back in a moment. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Lots of new announcements coming out. We'll be back. And welcome back to Open Lines. We'll do this again next hour. George Norrie with you here, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Let us go to the phones. International line, Fran is with us in Windsor, Canada. Hello there, Fran. Good morning.
Hello, George. Happy birthday.
It's almost there.
Oh, honey.
My
okay,
gosh.
Been listening to you since, before you came on the air.
How'd you do that? That's magic.
Oh, yeah. Been magic, George.
You mean you listened to me before I came on the air?
Sorry, honey. Come on, give me a break.
All right. I'm in one of these feisty moods tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. I like started listening to you in 2003.
But actually, that I think what you also meant when I was filling in, which was back in 2001. Right?
Really?
Yeah. It's been that long.
Well, because that's when my episodes started happening in 2001, George.
What do you mean your episodes? What happened?
Well, in Toronto, and people that are listening, especially the ones that know the radar and whatnot, can verify this, because I was the one that the... Oh, my God. How do I do this, George? Let me get it out.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Long story short, I'm at my friend's apartment building on the 21st floor, right? Okay. I know there was stuff coming in, because it was then I was finding out I was like one quarter American Indian, right?
Okay.
So I was being given stuff. I was having visions and whatnot, and all the medicine men that I went to said, oh, yeah, yeah, it was not a big deal, right? They all do that, the Indians. Oh, yeah, not a big deal. You know, it's only the star people. Well, it was my first experience, or really not, because I had seen them since I was a child. But this particular time in 2001, after August 17th, man, George, you wanted to hear it. You're going to hear it.
Here okay. It comes. And this is where,
here
Toronto?
It comes, baby. Yeah, yeah. One comes on. I go on my friend's balcony. There is a ship. There is a light coming in. Okay, and I'm thinking, oh, it's so strange. What are you doing? It flies. It's coming in from east. And flying, it flew slowly over the apartment, right? I'm trying to tell my friend. He says, you're watching too many X-Files. A couple days later, right, I'm thinking, oh, my God, that was so real.
And it's not a plane, right?
No, no, hon, it wasn't a plane.
No plane.
It was flying saucer that just flew gently over. And I'm looking up over the balcony, and I'm thinking, finally, you guys, you're letting me see you. So it was all, 2001, it was, ooh. But anyways, I can pinpoint the day, George, but, I've got everything written down on calendars and whatnot. Okay, I'll tell you the big thing a few days after that, I see one coming in. I'm going, yeah, yeah, I can see it. This is after I've seen many.
And you're still on the balcony.
Yeah, when I went out to the balcony, and then, one's coming in, George, not from the east, but a different direction. I'm saying, okay. That's not a plane. It was just a white, white, bright light, right? Coming in. I'm going, oh, my God. I jumped back into the apartment, and then I was saying to myself, I wonder if they want me out there. And you know that film with, Richard Dreyfuss?
Yep, Close Encounters.
Yeah, Close Encounters, where, they're beeping it up, right? Okay, do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're trying to make contact, and so he's coming in, and I'm going, I wonder if they want me out there? And so I thought, and I heard the amplifier go up, so I, put myself back out in the balcony, stretched my arms out. I saw this guy coming in. He was coming in. I thought, is this real? Yeah, this is real. Put my arms out. Arm's length over the balcony. The guy still keeps coming.
Like, come to me, right?
Yeah, I'm not scared. I'm scared, but I'm not. So, okay, put my hand away, George, almost as if he's passing by. He dematerializes and does a half moon wave.
Whoa.
To me.
Now, at any point, Fran, did they take you?
Oh, no, but I wanted to go with him. That was the
you would have gone if they had taken you, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, maybe it's a sign saying that later on, they're going to be back to take me. I'm safe. I love them. The tears started flowing down from my eyes. So warm, great big tears, thinking, I can see him, and he's flying off, without me. He's leaving me in this horrendous world where people lie and. So it's but the next day, George, there was all these vehicles going up and down and around the apartment.
What kind of vehicles?
Like, yeah, well, vehicles that had
like
long
military?
Antennas, military, with the blackened windows up and down, around, down, down.
Well, see, you, Fran, weren't the only one who saw what was going on. You may have been the main focal point. You might have been the contact, but they were probably watching, too. Just like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where the military set up that meeting place for the ETs. And maybe they were going to do that to you, too. That's a neat story. Let's go to Barry in South Carolina. Hey, Barry.
What's up there, George, and my old buddy Cornelius in Louisiana, Thomas down in La Jolla, Joe from the Bronx, Joe from Long Island, and all the coast-to-coast insomniac listeners.
Well, I got a little thing for you. On Cornelius, say hi to Barry.
Hey, Barry. George, I just talked to him the other day, during the middle of the day, and now he's on the phone waiting for you. But
he's been on the phone for 4 days. He has not hung up. He's been waiting to get on.
Oh.
But hold on, Corny. We'll get to you in a moment. Go ahead, Barry.
Okay, George, I will. And Cornelius, I say I love you, buddy, with all my heart. George, I had an incredible Ouija board experience.
Oh, no.
Now, listen to this, George. I was only 16 years old, and this is in 1959. I'll never forget it. Right here in Rock Hill, I had a girlfriend that lived four houses down from me, and, you know, I'm 16 years old, I'm a virgin, I didn't know what was going on, and all of a sudden one day, I was down there visiting her, Mother and Daddy were at work, and she said, let's play the Ouija board. And I didn't even know what a Ouija board was, George.
Of course not. Who would at 16, right?
Yeah, no kidding. In 1959, I don't even know when the game came out. But we played a little bit that day, and I was not very comfortable. But about 2 days later, you know, I'm 16. I'm pretty horny.
Very easy now, Barry. This is a family show.
I know it. I'm sorry.
Easy, easy. Well, a live stage show, we can get away with a little bit more.
I know it. I know it. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, I'm down there, and she said, let's play the Ouija board again. And I said, yeah, all right, you know. And she breaks it out, and we start having just yes and no questions. And she's talking about marriage and all this kind of stuff. And George, I got so doggone scared. I ran out of there like a scared rabbit and never went back.
Well, that's 16. I don't blame. And you didn't end up marrying this one, did you?
No. Heck no. And I sure am glad because I know what happened to her after she got married.
Hey, now I'm going to see you in Asheville. I don't want to see two empty seats like I did in Everett.
Hey, listen, buddy, I'll tell you what. You can count on me, even if I have to pay for the tickets.
You haven't paid for them yet?
I didn't pay last time. I got them copped from Tommy. But
oh, really? You didn't tell me about that. That comes out of my pocket.
Well, I know that, and I can afford it, but I hate to pay it.
All right, kid. You take care of yourself. Yeah, he was coming out to Everett, Washington to see us all the way from where he lives, and he was cutting his grass. And he fell, and he racked up his shoulder. He was really screwed up. Let's go back now to Cornelius after that little brief encounter in Alexandria, Louisiana. How have you been, Cornelius?
I've been all right there, George, and our friend Barry, and like you said, all the other coast-to-coast callers and listeners. George, I've got a special request that I know you and Tommy can do it for me. Me and Barry were talking, not then, but off the air. You know, President Trump's been giving a lot of pardons away.
Yep.
And my senator, but I want to say my senators and congressmen, they've been trying to do their best. But it seems like he's listening to all these different I guess, stars or something like Jack Johnson got his part in the boxer and stuff like that. 70 years after his death and stuff, he finally gets a pardon. But
you, I take it you'd like your pardon before you pass on.
Oh, yeah, I would hope so, George. But one day I'm going to get with you and Tommy. I'm going to try to send you some paperwork where I can prove my innocence, because the FBI is no good. They're going to try to set up Trump. I hope he doesn't sit down and talk to him or anything like. And there are good FBI agents and stuff, but these guys they got now, they're, and back then when I was in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, they're no good. But anyway, what I was thinking, if you could, or if you think about it, if get the Coast to Coast listeners and stuff to email, because I know you did this one time for one of the guests, book hosts and stuff like that, where you, they got 100,000 emails to the president about opening up the UFO
cases. That's right. We know a couple people who know the president well, who could probably get the information to them. No promises on terms of what he would do.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't expect that. As long as he gets the information and I can prove my innocence, because if Kim Kardashian and all the rest of these guys can get up there and plead their different cases. Have you heard about that black fella in Tennessee that had let loose now, George? He got his life straight. For 2 or 3 years, he's been out. And a federal judge has gone to his case. They put him back in prison.
Yeah. For no reason. They went and got him again.
Yeah. And the guy's doing right.
I know. Why let him out if you're going to do that to him? You know what?
Yeah, I tell you, George. But God bless you, George. I appreciate that. I love you playing, you know, Louis Armstrong. Boy, I was so glad to hear that and to hear Barry.
All righty. You be well. Kevin is with us in Northville, Michigan. Welcome to the program. Hi, Kev.
Hi, George.
How you doing? Do they still have the Harness Racetrack there, or they close that?
That's still open, as far as I know. I ran by it the other day. There weren't horses there, but it's still kicking, I think.
Yeah, the business has sure changed, hasn't it?
It has. The reason I'm calling is because, I just became an insider.
Oh, great. I hope you like it.
I do. And actually, I've been listening to you since I was like 10 or 11, back when I would steal my brother's Walkman. And so, usually, you know, I'm East Coast, so it's pretty late, and I usually fall asleep to the show.
Sure.
And a couple of years ago, I never wake up. Once I fall asleep, I'm done. But this one night, I was listening to the show, and it was very quiet. But I woke up, and I didn't just wake up. I went from dead asleep to eyes wide open in a second.
Wow.
And the reason why is because on the radio, it was open lines, I believe, and the man who had called in had a – something was very wrong with this man's voice.
Oscar.
Well, he was talking about how the devil took his spirit.
Yeah.
And also something to do with that. And this man was going on for a couple minutes. And I don't remember who exactly was hosting the show.
Or that may have been the devil worshiper. And the guy was talking to me and all of a sudden his voice changed. Was that it?
It might have. This was a couple years ago,
yeah.
I think. And I'm not kidding you, George. The reason why I think that guy, you know, there was something to that is because it woke me, his voice woke me up out of a dead sleep just for that moment. And it scared me beyond belief. I have goosebumps right now thinking about it. You know, you have amazing hosts on. David Poitras gives me the creep.
He's a great guest. Something's happening to those people. They're just disappearing. It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is, and Michigan's not exempt.
Well, we're going to have a couple little things coming up for the Coast Insiders because of your membership. So soon enough, you're going to really love it.
Awesome. Well, I'm trying to track down that episode, so maybe I'll find it.
We may be able to find that tape, too, if we can. I'll check during the top of the hour. I might even have a copy of it because I distinctly remember the guy was talking to me. And he was a devil worshiper or something like that. This is years ago. And in midstream, he went from being normal to this horrendous possessed voice. It was just really scary. So I'll check around and see if we can find that see what we can do. By the way, Monday, Tommy's going to make an announcement, and he needs your help for the next 14 days, he said. But he really needs it coming up on Monday and Tuesday, and he's going to talk all about it. And once he told me what he was going to do, I was a little surprised. But I think he probably will need your help. So remember that. Monday, big announcement coming up.